Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is, Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. A hell of a lot to get to. Training camp day number 2 officially in the books. Continued to see some more mixing and matching at a bunch of different positions. Got to hear from Dan Quinn. We heard from Brandi Coleman. If you listen to the tail end of G&D, the fella's hitting it right on the head. Von Miller in his press conference today, first time getting to speak to the local media here in D.C., not only was it insightful, I think it peeled back the curtain a little bit in terms of why exactly he's here. Make sure you keep it locked here on the show. We'll play some more of that press conference a little bit later on. I'll play my favorite cuts from that. Something else we'll get to as we roll throughout the show here this evening. You tweet at me as well. How do we get 30 seconds into the show? I haven't even dropped the handle. It is at NELL_BTP. Jam-packed show for you. We'll have a couple of guests stop by per usual. Michael Phillips going to join the show to give his thoughts on where things stand for him 2 days in the NFL training camp. That's coming up at about 8:15. 9:15, special guest joining the program, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Going to bless us with his time. He was very passionate yesterday about where he stands in terms of if he's Team Terry or Team Commanders. We played the clip last night here on Overtime. I think hearing the perspective of a national reporter on the Terry McLaurin situation and the difference in what Lou Riddick said yesterday and what he'll expound upon probably here tonight. We've heard from a bunch of national reporters on the Terry McLaurin situation. I don't think anyone's really given their two cents, right? We've just had good, concrete, hard journalism. I think with Louis Riddick, told you how a T.I. is and why Washington may be making what I consider to be, what he considers to be a massive mistake by not getting a deal done with Terry McLaurin. Louis Riddick going to join us coming up at about 9:15. NFL training camps opened all across the NFL. We'll go around the league. Top of the 9 o'clock hour, Justin Fields banged up early. Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs very vocal about their displeasure with the way Jerry Jones has been handling business. It always makes me feel good. And I know you all think I'm some, like, Cowboys implant. I'm not a Cowboys fan. I say it all the time. I was raised in a Cowboys household. Does it influence how I evaluate the brothers that wear the star on the helmet? No. Not at all. But as I've said all offseason, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on, I think the Cowboys have quietly had one of the best offseasons in all the National Football League. And I saw our guy J.P. Finley earlier today tweet out, I think it was Bet Online, had the odds for how many division wins each team in the NFC East was going to have. Washington's line set at 3.5. Just real quick thought on that now that I'm on it. Like, I think the competition in division going to be a lot stiffer than maybe fans are thinking about. Is the best way that I can put it, right? And I've said this a couple of different times throughout the offseason, and I'll reiterate it here again to kind of prove the point. I think the gap that exists between the Eagles and the Commanders wider than the gap that exists between the Cowboys in the Commanders. So we'll see how it ultimately goes. Can't wait to let you all hear this audio that we'll play for you a little bit later on. Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons. Dallas is a mess. And I'm just so glad that we have, like, far distanced ourselves from the circus act in terms of how we run our organization here in the nation's capital. Because boy, do they have a clown show going on in Dallas. But despite kind of the dysfunction that a lot of people see at the top, as I just alluded to, I'm a little bit bullish on the Dallas Cowboys. Something else we'll do as well. I want to take a look at a piece from ESPN's Bill Barnwell. He put out his 2025 all-pressure team. In light of that, we'll take a look at which Commanders are under the most pressure as we get geared up for the 2025 season. The lead story, though, after weeks of pressure from local leaders, federal leaders, the D.C. Council going to vote on legislation for a new Commander Stadium in the district, Councilmember Chairman Phil Mendelson announced that earlier today. Mayor Muriel Bowser joined the Junks earlier this morning. We'll play some of that for you before we get to 7 o'clock. But my overarching thought on this, right, have to imagine, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I would have to imagine that Trump's pressure, the federal government's pressure, got the council to move a little bit, right? Got the council to say, okay, let's expedite this process. The new vote set for August the 1st, and we actually got some very, very interesting information on that via Brooke Pinto, who joined Grant and Danny earlier today. And Grant tweeted this out about an hour ago. You can tweet him at Grant H. Paulson. Grant tweeted a couple of wild developments from our convo with the very sharp Brooke Pinto. The key info that she gave G&D, everyone's been saying it. It will take 7 yes votes to get the stadium deal passed. It's actually 8. And I know our guy Eric Flack of WSA9 kind of spearheaded that convo. This is a very unique thing to try and report on, to try and find the details of. So don't slight any reporter out there for getting, you know, some of the details wrong on this thing. It just is a very complicated and complex situation. But according to Brooke Pinto, it is going to actually take 8 votes to actually have this go through. A lot of folks were saying 7 previously. One more vote, I don't know how much of a difference that actually is. But the other key nugget that was given from Brooke Pinto was this. There was a D.C. council member that was removed from office temporarily after being accused of bribery. He gets sworn in on August the 8th, so they'll add another member to the council. So the second time they're slated to vote, I believe the first vote takes place August 1st. Second vote takes place September 17th. That second time around, it's going to take 9 votes. What we found out today has to be a 66% majority to ultimately get it passed. Now, I'll be real here, right? When you talk about 2 extra votes being needed, that's a lot. Especially for a council member, especially for a group of council members, rather, that really didn't seem like they were in favor of this thing right off the get-go. And I don't know how much of it was semantics and them trying to stick it to Mayor Bowser for her kind of going behind their back, essentially, with this, but it's going to be very interesting to see how it ultimately works out. First vote slated for August the 1st. So we're finally getting some traction and some movement when it comes to RFK 2.0. After weeks of pressure from the local leaders, the federal leaders, a vote is coming soon. Muriel Bowser joined the Sports Junkies this morning, and it's always unique to me whenever, and Grant and Danny have a bunch of politicians on as well. I haven't heard as much with B. Mitch and Finley. It's always interesting when these council members either come in studio or given the information over the phone. Our hosts do a tremendous job. Danny, Grant, the Junks. Because part of me is like, damn. Part of me is like, man, the tough-hitting questions are always asked. I truly believe that, and I give my colleagues credit for that. But I wonder, from the perspective of the council members that join, like, if we could inject them with truth serum, Doc Walker style, and actually get what they believe, I wonder how many council members are actually in favor of the stadium. Because there are going to be some council members that vote in favor of it just because, you know, council member B said, hey, if you do that, I'll give you this. That's just how politics goes. It's a dirty game. But as we sit here on July 24th, I guess that vote would be in 8 days. So next Friday, I believe, is when that vote is set to take place. And at that time, you know, we'll figure out what it is and what it ain't when it comes to the Commanders and their pursuit of a return to RFK. I have a question here, though, because, and if you can answer it for me, go ahead. It's at NELL underscore BTP and at 1-800-636-1067. Why is the second vote happening? There's a vote on August 1st. If they get enough votes at that point in time, if they get enough votes at that time, does the second vote take place? Does the second vote happen? That's a genuine question that I have. Somebody that's smarter than me, please help me out with that at 1-800-636-1067. I do want to give credit to B. Mitch and Finley, too. They've had Governor Wes Moore is like a huge fan of their program. I just can't figure out whether he's going to join the show in a Ravens jersey or a Commanders jersey. Come on, Wes Moore. Do better. A lot more to get to, though, here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. You can keep the conversation going with me all fair. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Had some big-time news earlier this morning. Mayor Bowser joined the Sports Junkies earlier. We'll play the best of that conversation next here on The Fan. Just getting rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Number to call us, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. A lot more to get to as we ease our way into the 7 o'clock hour. We'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He spoke ahead of training camp practice number 2. Couple of interesting nuggets the coach DQ gave, including doubling down on a statement that he made yesterday that I would just say got social media a-buzzing. So we'll get to that coming up, top of the 7 o'clock hour. I mentioned, though, big day today locally when it comes to the Commanders and their pursuit of a return to RFK after a lot of pressure from local leaders, federal leaders. We heard the president, Donald Trump, come out and give some very strong words and beliefs towards, you know, what he wants to see happen when it comes to the Commanders in a pursuit of RFK. We also heard from, I'm blanking on my guy's name, the head of the House Oversight Committee, a guy who we all love because of how important that group was in ushering Dan Snyder out of town. They wrote the letter last week that was kind of threatening and had that nasty tone to it saying, hurry the hell up. So the folks have listened. And we now are slated to have a vote on this thing coming up on August 1st. And if you're just now joining the program, we said this a moment ago there in that opening segment. If you missed any of this conversation, by the way, make sure you download the Always Free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to – I actually got to go back and tell you what time to go back to. But earlier today, Grant and Danny had council member Brooke Pinto join the program. She represents Ward 2 and gave some, you know, new details on where things stand, the need for an 8th vote as part of the new news. And some people are going to say it's a big difference. Some people aren't. I happen to believe that the thing gets pushed through. I've long said it, like, there are too many people in positions of power that want this to happen for it not to happen. And even if they do not get the necessary votes on August 1st or on September the 17th, we've already heard from the federal government that they have no qualms, no issues about stepping in on this matter. Right now, though, I want to let you hear from D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. She joined the Sports Junkies this morning and had this to say about the stadium design.
I have, and I'm talking a little bit ahead of school because out of school because we're always anticipating the right thing happening. And so when we get an approval, we want to be ready to go. We want to be ready with all the environmental, all the design. So I've had a couple of discussions with the design teams that the Commanders have brought on. And only when they get an approval, though, can they go 100%.
That is D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser giving some insight on the stadium design. Her conversation this morning with the Junks, I thought, was excellent. It was very insightful. And we found out a lot of key details that still are questions to fans. But, of course, Mayor Bowser, you know, dotting her I's, crossing her T's, I thought gave some very good answers this morning. And as a fan, that I will admit I'm not, you know, the most well-versed on the entire stadium conversation. But I do know one big issue that folks were worried about, the pregame tailgating situation, whether or not people would be able to park in the parking garages, not whether people would be able to park in the parking garages, but would people be able to tailgate at the new venue? I know there was, you know, a lot of scuttlebutt as well about, you know, how the rev split would go when it comes to, you know, parking there at the new venue. Here is Mayor Bowser giving the details on the way pregame, tailgating, and then getting to the stadium is going to go.
They don't have to worry about that. People drove in and out of RFK for years. Remember all those championships? It's going to be bigger, but there are also more transportation options than when the football team played there before. We have more public bus. We have more people taking scooters. We have ride share, like, through the roof. This is a transit town. People are not single-occupant vehicle drivers in D.C. like they are in other places. So they're quite used to going to RFK. And by the way, we have a whole corridor that's waiting for these fans on H Street Northeast. So we want people to pregame at the stadium. And yes, they will be able to tailgate. And we want people to stop at all of the restaurants and eateries along the way, like on H Street Northeast, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump from the new stadium.
So that is Mayor Bowser giving some insight. And I love her answer. She is obviously pro-stadium. I've long said it. Like, I think her legacy stands to benefit from being the mayor that gets the team back to RFK, and I feel like that's a big part of this conversation as well.
Yeah, and I'd have to see if we actually have the cut of it, but she said when her time as the mayor does come to an end, if the RFK site is still vacated and there's nothing there by the time she's out of office, she said it would be a failure.
Strong words from D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. Speaking of strong words, when you make declarations and proclamations and promise things, especially as a politician, the folks hold you accountable for it. Here is D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser earlier this morning on the Junkies talking about the potential of getting a Super Bowl to RFK 2.0.
Did Goodell promise? It's probably already publicly known, but if you get a new stadium, you get a Super Bowl, right? That's a given. That's a given.
Lock for a
what
Super Bowl.
What other things can we
lock? It up.
Lock. What other things do we get besides a Super Bowl? We're going to get Final Four?
You could get Final Four. You could get WWE. You could get some college playoff. You could get
college final
big concerts.
You can get Taylor Swift, Beyonce. Yep. You know what happened at the Beyonce concert recently? People were like, what is going on at this stadium?
Right.
So I think that is, to me, long been like the draw and the allure of getting a new football stadium, right? Getting a new venue here so that we can host all of the big time concerts, man. Could you imagine? And it's interesting because we were doing this on social media today. We glossed over a pretty hot button pop culture topic, which Atlanta based hip hop artist do you prefer, Young Thug or Gunna? Could you imagine going to see Gunna live in stadium? Not at Cap One Arena where you're only seating 18,000. Imagine Gunna selling out a 65,000 seat venue, man. He's got that type of allure, that type of pull. I'm super excited about it. Feels like after today, we are one step closer to RFK 2.0 being an actual thing. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You tweet at me as well. It's at NELL underscore BTP. My main man, Mark out in Landover Hills, wants to chime in. What's going on, Mark? How you doing, brother?
Hey, Big L. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Good to hear from you, brother.
Hey, brother. I wanted to straighten you out. You needed help on the thing about the two votes.
Yes.
And Brooke Pinto told about that, buddy. What it is being a unicameral legislature,
mm-hmm.
they have to have two votes. But if they had two houses like the Congress, they would only have one. So it kind of is cool because if they have two votes in between the first and the second vote, if they have to straighten anything out, it gives them a chance to. But that's why they have two votes, because it's unicameral. That's all it is, Big Al.
Mark, I appreciate you getting me smarter, man. See, that's why we open up the phones. I'm not afraid to phone a friend. What's the old show that you used to watch, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Hey, Big L.
Yes, sir.
Hey, brother. We're put on this earth to help one another, brother, not divide one another.
Yeah,
and we all love
saying
the old Redskins. So
yes,
I wanted
indeed
to help you out, buddy. And
yes,
hey,
indeed.
I know you got other callers, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Yeah,
shout out
man
to you and Ben, buddy.
Yes,
take
indeed
care.
Continue to tap in 1-800-636-1067. Let's get in Lewis and Prince Frederick before we take another timeout. What's going on, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on, man? Youngest in charge, man. Look, I love your show, man. For
appreciate
real,
you,
man.
Brother.
You crack me up, and you be on point. I like your perspective on things, man. But this is what I want to ask you, man. Mm-hmm. Please, I mean, if you can, for me, man, Can you go to the pulpit again on Jayden Daniels like you did last year, Mac?
You're talking
about one of my favorite segments ever.
So look, you're talking about Pastor Willingham now.
Huh?
You're talking about Pastor Willingham. Pastor Willingham only gets brought out for special moments, man. I think the last time we brought out Pastor Willingham was right before the NFC Championship game against those Philadelphia Eagles. I can't bring him out all the time now. It loses its spark.
Okay. Man, but you was on point. Everything you said about him came to fruition, man. You said, man, I was laughing so hard. I almost had to pull over, man. I was cracking up, man.
For sure,
you do
man.
That so good, man. If you could do it, if you can, you can. But I really appreciate it if you could, man. I listen to your show all the time.
Hey, man, keep tapping in and you'll hear from Pastor Willingham sooner rather than later. He only comes out during football season. That's when the congregation gets to indulge in Pastor Willingham. Top of the 7 o'clock hour, coming your way next here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It is at @NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout, pay some bills. When we come back, Dan Quinn, head coach of the Washington Commanders, spoke to the local media ahead of day 2 of training camp. Had a couple of interesting nuggets, including doubling down on a topic that he brought up yesterday that's definitely got Commanders Twitter in a frenzy. We'll give you the details on that next. This is The Fan. +1 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. It's a Thursday night edition of Overtime. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Couple of guests going to stop by the program in about an hour from now. Our pal Michael Phillips of The Fan in Richmond going to give us his thoughts on some of the most hot-button topics facing the Washington Commanders as we get geared up for training camp. Day number 3 coming up tomorrow. I'll be back out there, boots on the ground, bringing you the latest. The one thing I'll say about this portion of training camp, to me it's always, and we're in a reactionary society, everyone wants to, you know, have a take and a thought for social media, and everyone wants to put out their content and things of that nature. It's kind of difficult to get a gauge and get a read on certain position groups during this time of year. I think right now, to me, I'm looking hard at wide receivers, corners, quarterbacks, linebackers, how they cover versus tight ends and running backs. So when it comes to the biggins on the interior, right, the revamped offensive line, this pass rush unit that has now been bolstered by the addition of Von Miller, kind of hard to see exactly what they are at this juncture. But first day of full pads is what? Tuesday? Tuesday the 29th, first day of full pads? So at that point, you'll find out what it is and what it ain't. So if tomorrow, I think they said they would go, helmets the first 3 days and then go shells on Sunday and Monday, and then Tuesday they'll be in full pads. And I think Wednesday should probably be an off day. Based off of the way the schedule flies out. I'll say this, though, about this football team and how I feel about them currently after seeing them for a couple of days here. And I said this last night briefly, but I'll expound upon it here again. Jayden Daniels and his brilliance at the quarterback position going to be the biggest reason. It's going to be the biggest reason why this team either succeeds or fails. It's all up to what Five is going to do. And I think after watching him for an entire season last year, you know, I could put my money on Five. I can confidently state that, yeah, I think he is going to have a stellar sophomore season. Not a sophomore slump, a stellar sophomore season. Triple S's for you. Because Jayden Daniels was hot. But yeah, like I really do feel like and I keep going back to the same thing with him. It's not about arm strength. It's not about arm talent. It's not about elusiveness. He is a gym rat. In football terms, he watches the tape. He's grinding. And I think for that reason, he's going to have success. The other thing I looked at last night a little bit here was this too. Think about last year. He didn't get to go through, you know, the entire offseason program the way that he has now. right? And I think that can only be of benefit to him. And then the continuity that they've been able to maintain on the offensive side of the football when it comes to the coaching staff, I think that's huge as well. I really do. But I want to let you hear right now from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He spoke to the local media earlier this morning before practice, and always love DQ at the podium. I think he's always super insightful and peels back the curtain a little bit for you to tell you what the organization is thinking. I remember we were here the other night, and we were live on stream too, I think, and the news comes in on the ticker. Von Miller to the Washington Commanders. Here's what Dan Quinn had to say about the addition of one Von Miller.
Yeah, you want to see as a pass rusher, John, first thing, can you beat somebody to the punch? You know, he's got different unique talents. He can bend. He's long. So, but it's, at this point, it's what's the skills? You know, you want to find out what the skills are. And I like the stunts. I like that he's versatile, that he can play from his feet. He can play from down. We like to use variety in how we would want to go attack things. So that was some of the things that we talked. I'd be up on my feet. I could go inside, stand up. And so Luvu does some of that. He does some of that. I just like having a deep crew of guys that can be versatile and do things. But I also like the detail that he gets into as a pass rusher. We talked a lot about the summit that, you know, he's been part of for a long time, of other players and, you know, their ability to share and veterans. So it was just fun to talk pass rush with him, honestly. So what I saw on tape, the quickness to beat somebody to the punch. And that's what pass rushing, the first part has to be about getting the offensive tackle back and feeling that stress. If you don't have that, it makes it difficult to put a lot of stress on a tackle.
Stan Quinn talking about what Von Miller can add to this Commander's pass rush. Look, his get off, I'm speaking from, you know, getting to watch him here. The get off is there, right? Like he fires off the football. And I know it's difficult, like I just said a moment ago, it's difficult to really get a good gauge, a good read on the offensive line and defensive line during this particular portion of the offseason because of the lack of contact and not going full speed, so on and so forth. But with Von Miller, it's still, you know, very evident to me that, like, hey, I think there's a lot of fuel left in the tank is the best way that I could put it. And you know one way that fuel is going to stay in the tank? How about Dan Quinn and company giving a vet rest day to guys on day number two of training camp? Like that is why Zach Ertz was able to have big-time performances last year. That is why Austin Ekeler was impactful. That's why Bobby Wagner was impactful. Dan Quinn gets it. And I said it that night when Von Miller was signed. You have to imagine that, like, part of the reputation now here in the nation's capital is, oh, yeah, DQ going to take care of us. Right? I could be an older guy coming in and maybe not be in the best shape right off the rip, but I'm not suggesting that they encourage guys to not come in shape, but everything they do is ramped up, right? The first practice of training camp, normally the shortest practice of training camp, right? Today it was a little bit longer. Tomorrow will be a little bit longer. And we got a little bit of a programming note as far as tomorrow's practice goes. They have moved the practice session up to 8 a.m. I have to wonder. That's heat-related, right? I would have to think that's heat-related. And I'm looking at the forecast tomorrow. Hot damn. 8 a.m. when practice kicks off, it'll be 77 degrees. By 10 a.m., wow, it's going to be 90 degrees by 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's wicked, honestly. So shout-out to the Commanders, thinking of the players, thinking of the media, moving the practice up so that the heat is not as much of a factor. The offensive line and defensive line, I keep saying it's hard to figure out what's what with that group, but one thing that has been very evident, they're putting a lot of different combinations out there when it comes to the first-team offensive line, the second-team offensive line. I can say the same about the defensive front as well. Two guys, though, that I think are in a hot position battle right now that's kind of flying under the radar, Andrew Wiley and Josh Connerly Jr. Who is going to end up being the week one starting right tackle? Here's what Dan Quinn had to say about those two duking it out.
I wouldn't look into it because you'll see on ones today that Connerly will be at right with the ones and, you know, we'll mix it around some. So, and I wouldn't read into that in the same space. So it is cool to see, all right, he was, you know, here's your name's Vaughn, and then the next time against DA. And so how do we work different guys and work them, and the training camp practices against other teams help as well. So that's why I'm looking forward to, you know, having the chance to go up, you know, with the Patriots and have the Ravens here, so in preseason games. So, like, there's a lot of exposures that can happen, and that's kind of how you get better. You know, you just got to go and fight for it. But it is a fun experience to go through. I was, you know, thinking about him yesterday. Like, he's probably watched a lot of Von Miller, but he's never blocked him, you know. And so, and blocking him in practice and on the first day with no pads is well different than, you know, third and eight with inside of 2 minutes with the game on the line. So lots to do, but I'm really encouraged by Josh's work ethic.
That is Commanders head coach Dan Quinn talking about Andrew Wiley and Josh Connerly Jr. I'll say this about Connerly. He talked about the football smarts. There's a maturity that I think this kid has too. Every time, you know, he's taken to the podium, anytime he's been in a media scrum, it gives you the answer. It looks like a baby-faced assassin right off the rip, right? But gives you the answers of a cagey 10 to 12 year vet. So what Dan Quinn said though is interesting, and I'll kind of reiterate it here now. We are a long ways away. We are a long, long ways away from figuring out who the starting five is up front for this Commander's offensive line. A couple of spots are already written in magic marker, right? Tunsil at left tackle, Brandon Coleman at left guard, Biadasz at center. I think the right side is totally up for grabs right now. Whether it's them kicking Wiley inside and having him play next to Josh Connerly, whether it's a platoon swap similarly to what we saw at the beginning of last year with Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman. Here's the big thing to me that stands out, though. Dan Quinn, say what you want about how you feel about this organization right now in terms of where they're standing with Terry McLaurin. They're very consistent with their messaging, man. He comes from that Pete Carroll coaching tree. You know what the mantra is? Competition everywhere, all the time. And you're seeing it. Rookie's not getting handed a damn thing. We talked about it briefly last night. And we asked the question, well, who ends up becoming a starter first? Do you think it's Josh Connerly Jr. or do you think it's Trey Amos? After what we heard today from Dan Quinn and how long and drawn out this offensive line battle is going to be, I might say Trey Amos right off the rip. I want to let you hear more of Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Washington Commanders. You spoke to the local media earlier this morning before the start of practice. I want to play you one last cut here before we take a timeout, because this is the one that really stood out to me yesterday in Dan Quinn's opening presser of training camp. He alluded to Sam Cosmi being available a little bit sooner than expected. He doubled down on that this morning.
If he would come off PUP, then he could be eligible for that. But we won't know that for a few more weeks. If we wait till, you know, after and start the season, then you're automatically at four. So we're not going to put any judgment or say he's not going to be ready or is. We're just not sure yet, but he's hit a lot of the markers. And so he's close, you know, he's already doing drill work and things to go. But as far as acclimating into practice and team, we haven't got to that spot yet. So I'd say in another month, we'll have a good sense of like, okay, by mid-August or, you know, towards the end, where are we at? And then we can get a better sense. Is it 2 to 3 weeks? Is it 4 to 5 weeks? And until that timeline comes, we'll just, man, keep at the rehab and keep hitting it.
So you're saying there's a chance when it comes to Sam Cosmi and him being in this Commander starting offensive line group for week one against the New York Giants. Ben, you said something earlier that really piqued my interest. And after hearing Dan Quinn talk, after thinking about how the early portion of the schedule is going to roll, I think I might agree with you. I'll give you that take next here on The Fan. one 800 636 1067 is the number here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Coming up, top of the 9 o'clock hour in our final hour of power. Special guest going to stop by the program, ESPN NFL analyst Lewis Riddick, going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on where things stand with McLaurin and the Washington Commanders. And if you listened to us last night here on Overtime, we played the clip in the cut from Lewis Riddick on ESPN First Take. Lewis Riddick, none too pleased about where things currently stand, and he gave a pretty straightforward, direct warning to the Washington Commanders in terms of what could happen if they don't get this deal done. So make sure you keep it locked. Top of the 9 o'clock hour, our pal Lewis Riddick going to join the program. That was totally me. I hit a button on the computer. I'm launching. Anyway, speaking of the... Actually, can I do that again? Call us. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I want to run back the cut we just played again. Dan Quinn, during yesterday's practice, before yesterday's practice, rather, was asked a question by a reporter, and it was the question about, you know, Sam Cosmi's availability for week number one. And when you think about the timeline of his ACL surgery, he had it, what, January 23rd? The opener is September 7th, I believe. So, like, that's less than 8 months of a recovery time. So half man, half amazing is one Sam Cosmi. And I think the fact that Dan Quinn and company are giving him that opportunity, I'm going to look at it from both sides. The glass half full perspective is, yeah, he's super ahead in his rehab, and they absolutely love what he is going to bring to the table when he returns. The glass half empty approach is, yeah, we don't have a whole lot of faith in the guard spot opposite Brandon Coleman. And I don't know how true that is. I do think Brandon Coleman, even when Sam Cosmi returns, and here's a spicy take for you, right? Even when Cosmi returns, I think Brandon Coleman is going to be the best interior offensive lineman that the Washington Commanders have. I think he's got Pro Bowl, All-Pro potential at that spot. But in terms of Sam Cosmi, Ben, you mentioned this earlier, and we were on opposite ends of the spectrum with this. I'm like, okay, man, look, if you cleared, you cleared. But here's the thing about ACL surgery. I've gotten cleared from an ACL before, and then you can get cleared, but you don't feel like yourself right off the rip. I know you all gave Chase Young a bunch of crap a couple of years ago when he got cleared by the doctors but was still refusing to play. It's a mental part that comes along with this. But, Ben, you alluded to the fact that, you know, yeah, Cosmi can show that he's a freakazoid, but do I want to know if he's a freakazoid?
He's too important to what they are trying to do this year with the window that they have of trying to win a Super Bowl that I don't think it's worth the risk if he's not 100% to play in the early part of the season. One, you're only playing an NFC East game against New York week one.
Yeah.
You know, very back-heavy, tough schedule with all the NFC East games to close out the final four or five games of the season. Whatever it is. So I feel like the timetable for him, if I could have it my way, if he's not 100%.
It was a Ben Strober Burger King.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see him out there until he feels he is 100%. If he's at 85, I'd say to put him on the back burner until you need him, because I feel like they could still win plenty of those games early on without him.
Let's run it for you again if you're just now joining us here on The Fan. Earlier this morning, Dan Quinn, before practice number two of training camp, had this to say about Sam Cosmi and his potential availability for week one.
If he would come off PUP, then he could be eligible for that. But we won't know that for a few more weeks. If we wait till, you know, after and start the season, then you're automatically at four. So we're not going to put any judgment or say he's not going to be ready or is. We're just not sure yet, but he's hit a lot of the markers. And so he's close, you know, he's already doing drill work and things to go. But as far as acclimating into practice and team, we haven't got to that spot yet. So I'd say in another month, we'll have a good sense of like, okay, by mid-August or, you know, towards the end, where are we at? And then we can get a better sense. Is it 2 to 3 weeks? Is it 4 to 5 weeks? And until that timeline comes, we'll just... Man, keep at the rehab and keep hitting it.
Keep on keeping on is what Dan Quinn is suggesting for Sam Cosmi. I kind of agree with you, Ben. If he's anything but 100%, it's probably a no for me. And I'll even take it as far as to go, well, even if he's at 94%, I need him at 100, right? Like, and I agree with you, he's too important. But we saw this last year with this position group in particular. And, like, this is just popping in my head, and I'm glad I thought of it now. Last year, Tyler Biadasz played through injury down the stretch. Sam Cosmi played through injury down the stretch. And as a result, the running game for the Commanders fell off of a damn cliff. That's the tough part. And if you've been an athlete before in a locker room at any level, you understand how delicate that balance is between wanting to look like a tough ass and be selfless and then not screwing your teammates over. And I think that happened a couple of times last year when Tyler Biadasz clearly wasn't good enough to go. Cosmi clearly wasn't good enough to go. And as a result, they got their ass kicked.
Yeah, and Cosmi's a guy, they're not renting him. Right. This is a guy that they've already extended. They want him there for the foreseeable future. So I think they'll be delicate, pretty careful through this process. But obviously, they're going to want to get him back.
You need him.
As early as possible.
You need him. And in week one, Ben, I feel like I'm pulling a Chris Russell here. I'm already looking at week one and I'm shaking. Not because I don't believe in our team. That's a hell of a pass rush to go up against right off the rip.
Yeah.
Talking about the Giants.
I mean, that's the one strong part of the team. You could say definitively right now the Giants will probably rush the passer well this year. Even if they stink and win three games, they'll probably be high up in sacks, though.
I could definitely believe it. And I saw earlier today, I'm not seeing it on, ESPN.com needs to update their Giants page. Sexy Dexy. Dexter Lawrence got a big-time contract extension earlier this afternoon. He was freakish last year, and obviously had a season cut due to injury. But, man, he was leading the NFL in sacks during the early portion of the season. Like, that's freakish. That's something that you go, oh, okay. You add that to what the Giants already have up front. It's a pretty formidable unit. Here's why I think Dexter Lawrence is going to have the best year of his career. He's finally got a capable, quality running mate behind him, or beside him, rather. And I don't know if you all saw the highlights during the pre-draft process. I wanted this kid here in the nation's capital. Darius Alexander from the University of Toledo. I mean, a ball of knives rushing at you, man. I mean, he is just at 6'4", 310. You worry about a defensive tackle, and this has been the issue for Javon Kinlaw throughout his career. It's really not to your benefit to be a tall interior defensive lineman because it's easier for linemen to get up under your pads. And I think it's something that Darius Alexander may have to deal with early on. I know it's something that Javon Kinlaw's had to deal with early on as well. When you think of a big, freakish, powerful man like that, the only way he can get moved, the only way the line of scrimmage can be recreated is if he loses leverage. So that's something I'm going to watch. But Darius Alexander playing next to Dexter Lawrence is, like, nasty. Like, they have the potential by season's end, because we already know Sexy Dexy is revered as one of the best in football. By season's end, we could be talking about Dexter Lawrence and Darius Alexander as the best interior defensive lineman duo in all the National Football League. I truly believe that. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I want to let you hear more from Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Commanders. We'll do that as we roll throughout this 7 o'clock hour. But we'll take your calls right now on anything. Are you okay with Sam Cosmi? I said on anything. Are you okay with Sam Cosmi expediting the rehab process here? Are you concerned at all about his availability for week one? I'll take it a step further. Do you need Sam Cosmi for week number one? We'll take your calls on that at 1-800-636-1067. Our guy Captain Todd out in Florida wants to chime in. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Pastor Willingham. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, wow. We just got, like, breaking news, by the way. Can we break news with you right here on the air, Captain Todd?
Yes, sir.
Not Commanders related, so all of you can put your inhalers back in your pockets. Speaking of defensive tackles, Christian Wilkins cut after signing a 5-year, $110 million deal last year in Vegas. He is a top 7 guy at the position. Like, he's legit. Should Washington bring him in? Like, every time a guy gets cut or gets released, especially up front, you got to think, man, should I do it? Should I do it? What do you think, though, Captain Todd, in terms of that move and then Sam Cosmi moving forward?
Man, every time there's a name out there, man. Every single time.
I need it every time.
Bring him to Washington. Bring him here. No matter who he is.
Right.
You know, he's getting cut. I mean, I don't. What's he worth right now? You know, we're paying Von Miller. We're not paying Terry, I guess. And, you know, what's Wilkins going to cost? I mean, he is a big name. That's a big boy, too.
Yes, he is.
Do we need him? Yeah. yeah, I guess we need him. You know, if he can beat out Eddie Goldman, I guess.
Well, I'll say this about Eddie Goldman, man. He is going to have a bigger impact than I think people realize, man. I do think he is the perfect body type that they need here, but Christian Wilkins, I know we were supposed to talk about Cosby Cap at the top, but I'm drooling here, brother. I'm drooling.
How is Wilkins against the run? That's the big question.
That is literally his forte.
Okay.
That is what he does best.
Today. Yeah. Send Commanders 1 out there. Pick him up. Bring him over here. I'm actually still kind of blown away that they talked to Von Miller 2 months ago, and I had no idea.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the way that they handled defensive end, I thought they would, if they did make a move, Captain Todd, I thought they would wait until after the first week of training camp where the guys are in full pads and you can see what it is and what it ain't in terms of what that group is. But I think when Von Miller is on your line, Captain Todd, you pick the hell up, brother.
You pick up, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Wilkins next to Payne, next to Vaughn. I mean, that's kind of sexy, man, I got to say.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you as always, Captain Todd. I've got a couple more to get to before a timeout.
Thanks, Blake.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Commanders head coach Dan Quinn, for the second time in as many days, hinting at the possibility of Sam Cosmi playing in week number one. Do the Commanders need Sam Cosmi in week one against this vaunted New York Giants pass rush? Or are you okay with him not coming back until he's 110%? Brian is in Greenbelt, wants to chime in. What's going on, B?
I'm going, what's up, man? I'm going 125%.
Okay. Look,
Sam Cosmi's a young beast, man. He's 26, man. We got Coleman floating around trying to keep his roster spot. He's a young beast.
Right.
I mean, offensive line is stacked, bro. Are you serious, bro, that you're actually worried? Because you must just be fluffing it, bro.
Dude, I can't believe that
you're actually worried.
Can I tell you why I'm worried? Can I tell you why I'm worried? First of all, the Giants and their rush last year on the interior in particular gave us a little bit of issue, but this is why I'm worried. If it's Josh Connerly Jr. out there week one and he's got to go up against Brian Burns or Kayvon Thibodeau, first and foremost, you heard it here first, Abdul Carter is going to win Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, Defensive Rookie of the Year. He'll be a chew-in for that. He is a freakazoid. So having to go up against those guys right off the rip gives me a little bit of pause. And then for Brandon Coleman, who I got all the confidence in the world in, by the way, kicking inside for the first time, he'll get warmed up against New England, going up against Milton Williams and the boys they got in the interior, and then against Baltimore, against Justin Madubuike. But when it's real and you got to play the full allotment of snaps and you're going up against Sexy Dexy and Darius Alexander, ooh-wee! That's tough.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, that's tough.
I feel you, man, but you know what? I'm trying to get worried. I'm hearing you, but yeah. I'm not feeling it, dog.
You know what that says, though? You know what that says, though, Brian? It speaks to the confidence that this fan base has in this team right now. And as a 27-year-old, I don't remember ever going into a season and genuinely feeling like, hey, we can win the Super Bowl. Never in my life.
Man, you know what, though? Also, Linnell.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been on the other side of the Terry McLaurin thing, like, oh, man, who cares? Let him go. But, I mean, I didn't actually say let him go. But the closer we get to the season, I'm feeling like, man, we were in the NFC Championship, man. This might just be a special season in terms of Super Bowl.
Are you saying it? Hey, look. Well, I'll save that for an off-air conversation. I'm telling you, if y'all are looking for something to sprinkle a few dollars on, man, and I'm broke, so don't ask me to sprinkle nothing. But
let's go.
Deebo Samuel, man. I've been saying it all offseason. Deebo Samuel, if you can find any prop bet on him for the season, cash the over, because I think he's going to have a big-time role. Brian, we appreciate you as always, dear brother. Enjoy the rest of your night, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we just heard Dan Quinn talk about what Von Miller could bring to the Washington Commanders next year. And it got me thinking, which of the Commanders' old heads will be most impactful this season? That's next here on The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up the 10 o'clock programming note, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Coming up at about 8:20, our pal Michael Phillips of 92.3 The Fan in Richmond going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on what he's thinking about the Commanders as we get geared up for the meat of training camp. First 2 days in the books. Two hot ones. Tomorrow's practice slated to be so hot that they've pushed it up an hour. So instead of practice starting at 9 p.m. tomorrow, practice is going to start at 8 p.m. Commanders head coach Dan Quinn going to address the media beforehand at about 7:30. I wanted to get into, and if you have any calls still on the Sam Cosmi firm, we'll take them too at 1-800-636-1067. Let's actually do that. Let's go to Athens and Annapolis. Wants to chime in on the Sam Cosmi front. What's going on, Double A?
Willie, how you doing, Willie? hey, did you get your interview yet with Laramie Tunsil? Did you find your boy yet out there?
Wow, I didn't even divulge how that went yesterday. So anyone that was listening for the entirety of the program, I teased it off the top. Me and LT did talk. We exchanged DNA. That sounds too freaky for radio. We dapped up. It was cool, man. It was. He came up to me right off the rip as he was walking out, smiling at me. His gold grill flashes at me. Laughed it off. Dapped me up. And then when he was in the individual drills, walked up to me again. And this time I said something to him. I said, man, look, it's the same thing I captioned on the post. I said, man, whoever made this edit for you, shoot me their number. I need it. And then we talked about, what he did this summer. Our social media question, or something that we put together today on social media, was Young Thug or Gunna, two, hot button Atlanta rappers that a lot of folks in that locker room like. Laramie Tunsil actually hosted a youth camp this summer, youth football camp with Gunna. So it was pretty interesting. We were talking about some of the details of that. But no, Laramie did not fold me up like an accordion. And guess what, Athan? The one-on-one is coming sooner than you all realize.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. So, are you guys going to be down on U Street together? Because I want to come get autographs and be part of you with your Howard Honeys, sharing with him,
man,
and everything.
So the funny thing one of my boys said was like, man, you need to ask him, like, what's your favorite club on U Street, brother? Like, who treated you the best? But no, he's in for a big time year, and I think he's the big reason why I feel confident going into Week 1 against the Giants.
Well, let me ask you this though, because here's the thing: they need to be in contingency mode now, because if Terry doesn't report or they don't get something worked out, this wide receiver corps goes from, I guess, above average to mediocre. So, what do you think? What do you see? Is there a gem out there yet? Is there a free agent you see them signing? Because the Giants, here's the thing, the Giants are coming in here Week 1 flying around. They got a head coach and a GM that are week to week for their job, okay? That team is going to come in here fired up and healthy, and if we can't pass the ball, if Luke McCaffrey doesn't turn into the next Julian Edelman, or the kid from Virginia Tech isn't what we think he is, or whoever else we got, Debo's only going to do so much. He's not a number one, okay? Yeah. So, what do you think are the next steps for them? Because I say let trade Terry if he's not going to, take $75 million guaranteed or whatever they're offering him. But also they become significantly less on offense, because JD5, he's great, but you do need talent around you, and they become significantly less.
Here's the number one thing they miss without Terry McLaurin. I think every fan that watched this offense week to week last year knew it. How many times did we see 16-play drive that eats up 75 yards in 6 minutes of clock? That's not a sustainable formula. Terry was their explosive play weapon last year. I think Debo obviously comes in and helps in that territory this year, but that's what I think you miss the most without Terry. how do you create and generate explosives through the pass game on a consistent basis? Because nobody else in that receiving core has speed. Jalen Lane does. Who knows if he can get off press?
Well, that's the thing. You just said speed. This team doesn't hardly have any speed. And they're slow on defense, and you just mentioned Wilkins getting cut, so we'll see what happens there. I hope his foot is healed or whatever's going on there. But, I mean, speed kills.
It does.
And we don't have it. We don't have it. And Debo is not durable. He misses three or four games a year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this version of Debo, I let him borrow one of my Kimotos, so he'll be all right.
Oh.
After that, I appreciate
you got plenty of them.
I got something to spare, brother. I appreciate you as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. That damn Athens in Annapolis. We had a lot more to get to, though, here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. Keep the convo going with me on social media. It is at NELL_BTP. We'll pay off the tease from the last break. When you think about Von Miller being brought in and the Commanders now officially the oldest team in the National Football League, in light of that, which Commanders OG, which Commanders old head do you think is going to have the biggest impact in 2025? Is it Zach Ertz? Is it Austin Eckler? Is it Von Miller? Or is it Bobby Wagner? My thoughts on that next here on The Fan. Speaking of OGs, I was debating whether or not I was going to pay homage throughout the show here tonight. I guess I have to. A rest in peace to Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, passing away today at the age of 71 years old. It sparked, honestly, conversation with me. I'm not going to get into whether Hulk is politically correct or not and whether or not he has a color bias or not, but I will say this. Nobody can deny his impact on pop culture. Nobody can, you know, doubt his global impact that he was able to have. My guy, the Junkyard Dog, Jerome Williams, who played at Georgetown, went to Magruder High School, and then ended up playing for the New York Knicks. He had a pretty interesting post paying homage to Hulk Hogan, saying that Hulk Hogan helped him turn his life over to God. And if you think about the messaging of Hulk Hogan back in, you know, the early 90s, the late 80s, it was, you know, say your, eat your vitamins, say your prayers. And the say your prayers part definitely resonated with a whole lot of people. So rest in peace to pro wrestling legend Hulk Hogan, who sadly passed away earlier this morning at the age of 71 years old. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I want to get into this. The Commanders are, you know, the oldest team in the National Football League. There is no doubt about that at all. I don't have the exact average age of the Commanders, but we do know they are the oldest. And then when you add a guy like Von Miller, the age goes up a little bit more. So it's an old football team. To me, they are the oldest football team. Them being that is a byproduct of Ron Rivera and the Marty Party and their incompetence that they had while here in the nation's capital, because there was not a whole lot of cheap talent. And when you're picking guys from the free agent tree, the way you get cheap talent via free agency is if guys are a little bit long in the tooth. And we've seen that with Washington and some of the deals that they've handed out to this point since Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have come to town. Doesn't it feel like, though, maybe we're spoiled as fans? Remember when Bobby Wagner, when we were free agency year one, right? Everybody was clamoring for Bobby Wagner because we was like, okay, relink him with DQ. It all makes sense, right? Boom, it happened. At the trade deadline, after Noah Brown got cut from the Texans, what were all of us doing? Oh, go sign Noah Brown. Oh, go sign Noah Brown. What did they do? They signed Noah Brown. At the trade deadline, what are we clamoring for, man? I can't see no more Benjamin St. Juice. Can't watch it. Can't do it. They go get Marshawn Lattimore. We're spoiled as a fan base. They did it again this offseason. People have been clamoring for Von Miller ever since the start of the offseason. They continue to go out and make the moves that the armchair GMs would make. And I don't think it's a slight or a knock at all on Adam Peters and company. My thing with them, with every veteran that they brought in at this point, Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, Austin Eckler, Von Miller. They have a vision for all of those guys. They have a plan for all of those guys. And because that is the case, I think it's what allows them to be able to have success. I don't even know if I mentioned Zach Ertz there, but like as we get geared up for next year and you're thinking about what type of impact the veterans are going to have. And speaking of the veterans, I think it was Tunsil today, Ertz today, Wagner today, all getting a vet rest day. So, and Von Miller. So that's how you keep the guys fresh, DQ. I absolutely love that. And it gives you an opportunity to give, you know, maybe a certain player more reps on one day compared to another. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. The question I have on the phones is this. Which of the Commanders OGs is what I'm going to go with? Because all them old heads, man. Bobby would probably spear my ass. Which one of the Commanders OGs do you think are going to be most impactful this season? When you go back to last year, the one guy that stood out to me, and I say it every chance I get, Zach Ertz completely knocked my socks off in terms of what I thought this offense, this football team, was going to ultimately get from him. Zach Ertz last year, the numbers speak for themselves, and you felt the impact, especially down the stretch working in the red zone. Not the fastest guy, but still has an innate ability to create separation based off of strength and length. So it'll be interesting. Zach Ertz, the numbers, though, 91, bro, he got 91 targets last year. Like, in terms of, like, trying to determine how much of an impact a guy is going to have, he had 91 targets. That was his most targets since 2021. And before that, his most targets since 2019. So, hey, Shorty could go. He had 66 catches. That was the most since 2021. Before that, the most since 2019. So he was able to turn back the clock a little bit, and it has a lot to do with Dan Quinn and company. And they're very detail-oriented. Everything is a plan, right? And they're very measured with their approach. They knew how they were going to treat these veterans that they brought in, and it allowed Zach Ertz to go out and have a big-time year. Austin Eckler the same way. Now, the thing with Eckler that is kind of frustrating, you can't really put an age asterisk next to a concussion. Doesn't really have anything to do with your age. It's about concussion history, how many times you've got hit in the head. And unfortunately for Eckler, maybe that's why Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt was brought in.
I feel like you can put an age asterisk, though, on a running back being 28 years old when they sign him. And not to say that it's super old, but just for a running back, the shelf life is not as long as other players. So to the normal NFL standard, 28 is considered old for a running back.
Damn, that means I'd be old in the NFL. I'll turn 28 in November. Jeez.
I remember we had the conversation where if there was a lockout or whatever and they needed scab players, that you would go out there and play?
Come on. I'm telling you, I'd do it. I've been in the gym, you know. I'd be able to get down and boogie. I want to read a couple tweets here before we get back to it. Our guy, Commander Jig, always tweets at us and says, they need to get Terry straight before bringing in another soul. The reason why they cut his ass because he didn't take his rehab seriously. Is that the scuttlebutt coming out of the Sin City? Is that Christian Wilkins wasn't taking the rehab seriously? That's interesting. I don't know if I buy it, but it's messy. Which old head, 1-800-636-1067. Which old head, which OG, I said I was going to stop calling them old heads. Which OG for the Commanders next year is going to have the biggest impact? Is it Zach Ertz at tight end? Is it Bobby Wagner at linebacker? Is it Von Miller rushing the passer? Or is it Austin Eckler catching passes and splitting the tackles on the offensive side of the football? 1-800-636-1067. Me and Ben will answer that question next, plus take your calls here on The Fan.